I was giving. I was so motivated to give, I had to pull my phone out and give right there. Well, he just said, if you'll receive that out of your mouth, life and death are in the power of your tongue. Did you hear what I just said? Say it with me. Say, life and death are in the power of my tongue. Whatsoever things I say, come on, keep it up. Whatsoever things I say, when I believe, I will receive them. Now don't go asking for a spaceship, but when you're in God's perfect plan, and I had somebody tell me that one time, when you're in his will, ask what you want. He's going to give it to you. You know what I'm asking for tonight? I'm asking for lives to be transformed. Come on, do you believe that? Do you think God's in that? You know what else I'm asking for tonight? I'm asking, as Pastor Chris shares the word, that lives that are broken or out of kilter will come back in line, and people will walk out of here tonight full and encouraged and built up and ready to face tomorrow with a new skip in their step. That's what I'm asking and believing for tonight. Pastor Chris Ball has become one of our favorites, and I'm going to have him talk about Pastor Ron Bergio. But you know what? I got to just do it. Pastor Ron Bergio, stand up. Everybody give one of them. He's a mentor. He's an apostle in my life. Thank you for coming out tonight. Pastor Chris Ball has been a blessing to us. And I want you to do something. I want to go over the top tonight. I want you to make him feel so uncomfortable coming up here because of the clapping and the shouting. Oh, where's my woohoo crowd? All right, come on the count of three, I want you to give Pastor Chris Ball the biggest God bless you. Come on, let's welcome Pastor Chris Ball. Come on. Come on, church. Come on.
Hey. All right, I'm going to take you on the road with me. That was fun. My goodness. Pastor Ron is a dear, dear friend of all these folks here at this church. He is no stranger. He's an apostle to the Buffalo area and between everything between Buffalo and Rochester. You have no idea how many people call Pastor Ron, and they just look for him to have wisdom. I'm talking people that if I name drop right now, you would recognize some of them. And he has been a life saver to me personally. And I wouldn't be here where I'm at today. I wouldn't even be in this church, I don't believe, because it was his connection that brought me to introduce me to Pastor Marty and Pastor Ryan. So it's a real honor that he's here. I just told him an hour or two ago that I'm speaking here tonight, and he goes, well, I'm going to see if I can come hear you. And then I got nervous, you know. But my wife is here. She doesn't always get to come because she's preaching other places. But this is Carol. And I'm excited she's here. And it'll be good. And I just want to say, I came one Sunday. I shared this with your pastor recently. I came one Sunday just to hear Pastor Ryan preach. I wanted to hear him, and he's just a real joy to see how he's improving and growing in his leadership as a pastor in this church, and as his role as a speaker and the different things. He comes from good stock, that's why. But I came to hear him preach one Sunday morning, and the highlight wasn't him preaching. Let me tell you what the highlight was that day. It was good. I remember it. But when I walked out of here, I was heading back to my car going to another church to hear another pastor speak in Rochester. And I don't remember who it was, but somebody got out of the car with a whole bunch of other ladies. And they say, are you Chris Ball? And I went, yeah. And she said, we love you at City Church. Let me tell you, that just touched me deeply. I if I could get people to say that at my church, that would be cool. You know what I'm saying? But to come here and have somebody, not somebody that I know, but they knew me from whenever I've been here. And it just touched me deeply. And so it's a good sign of this family. Amen? And so it really brings life to me. So, amen. Here we go. You ready? I've got a word I believe the Lord has given me for tonight. I just feel... I feel like this. This is no exaggeration now, and I don't do this a lot. I don't do what I'm about to say. The Lord told me, okay, because I don't like that a lot of times, you know. But I felt like the Lord said to me today, as I was looking through the notes that I have here, and I've only preached this sermon one other time, and I preached it at the church that Carol and I pastored for 30 years. And the Lord told me to get this out of the old file, look at it, and I cleaned it up and contemporized it for this place. But as I was reading through my notes, the Lord said to me this: right now, in this place, there are people, and even this church, that's getting ready to take new territory. In other words, it's like we've been on a holding pattern, right? We've been on a holding pattern, and I've talked about that before when I've come here. But the whole country's been on a holding pattern. We've been wrestling with how we navigate church and all that through the COVID pandemic and all that. But right now, people are coming back, and people are starting to, you know, do things. But here's the deal. God is not interested in you going back to the territory you had. He's wanting you to take new territory. And I want to read a story that will set you up for the title of my message in a minute. I'll tell you the message title in a minute. Florence Chadwick was a swimmer. She was the first woman to swim across the English Channel both ways. And she even swam across the Straits of Gibraltar. She never swam across Lake Ontario. I found that out. Chadwick was 34 years old on July 4, 1952, when she attempted to become the first woman to swim 21 miles across the Catalina Channel from Catalina Island to Palos Verde on the California coast, so over on the west coast there. The weather that day was challenging because the ocean was ice cold, and the fog was so thick that she could barely see the support boats that followed her. The tides and the current were against her. And to make it matters worse, the sharks were all over the place. But at daybreak, she decided to go forward anyway, expecting the fog to lift. Hour after hour after hour, she swam. The fog never lifted. Her mother and trainer followed her in one of the support boats, encouraging her to keep going. While the Americans watched on television, other members of her support crew fired rifles at the sharks to drive them away. She kept going, and she kept going, and she kept going. At about the 15-hour point, she began to doubt her ability to finish the swim. She told her mother, I don't think I'm going to be able to make this. Unfortunately, at 15 hours and 55 minutes, she had to stop. With a huge disappointment, she asked her support crew to take her in out of the water and bring her into the boat. Because of the fog, she could not see the coastline, so she had no idea where she was. She soon found out, however, that she was actually less than a mile away from the coast. She could have certainly reached it if she had just stayed in the water for a few minutes longer. Later, she told a reporter, "Look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have just seen the land, the territory, if I could have just seen the land, I know I could have made it. But the fog had made her unable to see her goal, and she felt it felt like to her that she was getting nowhere." 2 months later, she tried again. And though the fog was just as dense, this time she kept going. She told the reporters later that she kept a mental image of the shoreline in her mind while she swam. Her time now was 13 hours and 47 minutes, breaking a 27-year-old record by more than 2 hours, breaking it and becoming the first woman to ever complete the swim. Isn't that amazing? The title of my message is this, Keeping Your Focus. If I've ever seen a time in the church where people are running a race but losing their focus, it's been now. People are out of focus all over the church. I'm not talking about people outside of the body of Christ. I'm talking about, I have the opportunity with over 100 churches to be responsible for, over 250 pastors, missionaries, 187. I want you to know, people are losing focus. And if you're going to take new territory, people, you can't lose your focus. You can't lose your focus. And I believe you're taking territory in this church. I believe some of you are going to take new territory. But here's the concern. Don't lose your focus. Listen to this statement. Life is not a product of what you see, but what you focus on. That's good right there. Life is not a product of what you see. There's lots of people that see things, but they don't focus. They don't focus. We can see the same things and come up with many different conclusions. Think about the 12 spies. Those of you who know the Bible, in the Old Testament, they sent out 12 spies to go and look at a land that God had already promised them. God had already promised them. And watch this, very important. The 10 and the 2, the 12, saw the same thing but focused differently. 10 of them focused on giants, and 2 of them focused on grapes. See, God has put some vision in some of you. You see the shoreline. You're on the edge of whatever the next step is towards your territory. You can see it. But if you're not careful, just like Chadwick, you can lose your focus and not reach your destiny. It was right there, not even a mile away, less than a mile. And if she had just kept focused. I was thinking about Joshua in chapter 3. This is not where I'm preaching from. I'm going to be preaching from Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. But in Joshua chapter 3, 1, 2 through 4, it says this. This is like right before they're going across the land, right? They're on the edge. The guys didn't get to go. They kind of wandered for a while because the 10 lost their focus. See, it's not so much what happens to you when you lose your focus. The whole nation didn't go forward because of 10 people losing their focus. So your losing focus doesn't just impact you, it impacts all of us. My losing my focus and getting blinded can hurt others, not just yourselves. After 3 days, these men were standing there in the camp, and this is what God said to them. When you see Ark of the Covenant, and the Lord will bring that ark before the Levitical priest, then you're to set out. But remember, do not go too close so that you can focus on where the ark is going. Isn't that cool? So that you can see where the presence of God is. Let me read the verse that I'm going to preach from. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3 in the Berean Study Bible version. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the people who we impact when we have focus, and in this case, since we've just heard stories about all the people in faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews. That's what they're talking about. Since we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every encumbrance. I'll come back to that. Every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. Other version says, throw off every weight. It doesn't have to be sin. It could be weight that has nothing to do with sin. And let us, here it is, watch this. This is different than seeing. Watch. Let us, come on, you say it with me if you know it. Fix our eyes. That's focus. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So many people in this political world we've had have gotten their focus off Jesus. Come on. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before us endured the cross, scorning its shame, and then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Remember that. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart. Turn to somebody and say, don't lose your focus. Don't lose your focus, man, I'm telling you. I really, really want you to understand. Those people were looking at the territory, right? Now, I'm saying that because I just added that for tonight. They were looking at the promised land. But I'm saying, you're looking at territory in your lives, dreams, visions. It's been put on hold for a while. You can see it, if you will, but you can miss it by losing your focus. So let me give you three things that I believe will help you stay focused. Number one, here we go. Ready? Identify the fog. Identify the fog. She said, I couldn't see because, and four times in that article it said, because of the fog, because of the fog. The fog was so dense. But this time, the fog didn't get in the way. Are you hearing me? It was the same fog. It had the same density. But this time, the fog didn't get in the way. She identified that the fog was going to be there, so I had to imagine how I could remove the fog out of my mind so I could see the destiny that she wanted to go towards. Are you with me? Let us strip away every fog or weight that slows you down. Distractions, discouragement, and disappointments are fog that we sometimes become accustomed to, and we hold them close to us, and we need to identify them. We need to know that we got distractions in our life. Come on. We have discouragements in our lives, but we cannot allow that to fog up our eyes, cannot fog up the windshield of our lives so that we cannot see where God wants us to focus. It's amazing how many people in the Bible were distracted. Martha. Peter, he was doing fine on walking on water. I give him an A+ for walking on water, but he got distracted. He got discouraged. How many of you have ever been driving down the road, maybe talking to the other person in the car, listening to a podcast, or just looking at the beautiful sunset when you realize all of a sudden you missed your exit? This is a classic example of being distracted. Losing your focus. You know where you're going, but your head is full of something. Listen to this article I read. What causes most car accidents? This will surprise you. What is it that causes most car accidents? This was the title of an article in the Washington Post. The article said that cell phones have become the common cause of car accidents. However, the largest study to date on crashes involving distracted drivers has said it's rubbernecking. 67% of car accidents are because we're looking around in the car or outside the car when we're supposed to be going that way. How many know somebody that drives just like that? Look over at my wife right now. Look at her. She's pointing right at me right now. I can't even adjust the audio system without the car moving over. Are you with me? Because I'm distracted, and it's not the things out there that are distracting me. It's the things I bring into my mind, into me, that become the fog. Distractions from the inside of the vehicle accounted for 67% of distractions reported, while the distractions from the outside of the car, people coming in your way, people looking like they're going to pull, only are 35%. It's the driver. It's the driver that gets distracted. Often the fog is in your mind. Hello? Often the fog is in your mind. You have a foggy mind, if you will. Listen, let me just say something to you about the weight. Remember it said, lay aside the fog. Lay aside the weight, okay? Listen, not talking about sin now. Some of us are carrying burdens that God never gave you to carry. Bear one another burdens, he says. But you see, a burden is good. I have a burden for pastors. I have a burden for the church. I have a burden, but God gave that to me. Are you with me? And so that burden is not too heavy because he's working it with me, right? But there are times that I pick up a burden that has nothing to do with God. And it might be because I'm a minister, but God's saying, leave that alone. And it can weigh you down. It could be a conversation. Come on. You could get a phone call that'll lay a heavy weight on you that will cause you to get fog that will distract you and lose your focus. Come on. You need to ask God, is this something I need to be doing? Is this something I need to be answering? Is this something I need to, is God giving you that burden? Because if it is, it's a weight you shouldn't. If it is, it's a weight that you can handle. But if you're carrying a weight that he never gave you, he said, my burden is light. My burden is light. Identify that. You know, I used to be a car mechanic. I have a friend that's a car mechanic in the audience somewhere. I went over to see his shop. Great guy. And I used to be a car mechanic. After I had my heart surgery, my son needed brakes, front and rear brakes. And I like doing brake jobs. It's fun. But I got scared. How could I handle the weight of the tire now? Am I able to really, what if, can I break the lug nuts? And I put that job off for over 2 months. All based on fear. It was in my head. It was fog. And it distracted my focus. We must demolish every argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And take captive every thought and clear our mind. Clear our mind. Amen? Paul said it this way, this one thing I do. And too many of us are too busy. I hope today, before I leave here today, Pastor said, I hope you leave here energized. I hope you leave here lighter. I hope you clean fog out of your head. Get rid of the weight that God never intended you to have. Number two, first one, identify the fog and get rid of it. Number two, persevere until you're done. Too many people quit early. She quit early. She was only a half a mile away. For her, that was like minutes. Too many people stop early. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a large crowd of witnesses, he goes on to say this after he said, let go of the weights and let us run with endurance. Let us run the race that God has set before us. Nehemiah built the wall in 52 days. But you know when he had the biggest problem? Halfway through the building of the wall. Most of us are already taking steps into the Jordan. Most of us already know the territory we want to get. It's when you're in it that you start to get discouraged. It's when you've started it, you know, all of a sudden you learn the problems of the journey. Over here, you see the view and you love to go. I can't wait to go. But when you get in the woods, you start to feel the pressure of the journey. Are you with me? And you want to quit. He says, run the race with endurance. Press in. Push forward. Go ahead. My church in South Butler, we used to go every year for about 10, 15 years down to Fortaleza, Brazil, to work with it's kind of like an after-school program. When they first started, they had 13 kids. When we left, the last time we were there, they had over 600 kids in this program. And they taught these kids how to do school. They had an education program for these kids in the favelas, which was the slums. And we just fell in love with these children. We would go every year and minister, and they had singing groups and dance groups and all that kind of stuff. And my 14-year-old son, Josiah, now he's 28 and getting married on June 4th. But when he was 14, we took him, and he comes to me and he says, Dad, I feel like I have a vision. Son, you're too young for a vision. No, he had a vision. He said, I feel that we could bring the dance team and the singing group to America. I went, yeah, right, that'll work, you know. And he wouldn't let it go, right, Carol? He just would, yes, Dad, I know I heard from God. And so I came back to America, and when we came back, he went and told a couple of the elders. And I was looking for him to get good guidance from the elders saying, son, it ain't going to happen. And the elders agreed with my son, which I don't like those elders anymore, yeah? Long story short, we went out, and those kids, they had nothing. These were street kids. They lived in homes, but they were street kids. Are you with me? And they went out. They cut their hair. They did all kinds of things because we said, we will help you get to America if you buy your passport and get a visa. So the leader of the group and the guys in charge of the ministry, he got these kids to start working on this. And sure enough, 23 children went out and bought passports. And they went down to Recife to get the passports approved and have a visa stamped at the American embassy, right, to come over. And they all, 23, got denied. They were a flight risk because they were so poor. They thought if they come to America, they have no home, that they're just going to run wild. And the American country wouldn't let us bring them in. So I called one of the New York senators. I won't say his name because I just don't want to divide you. But I called one of the U.S. senators, and I asked him, could you help me? And he didn't help me very much. But one of his staff said, I'll see what I can do. So for 4 weeks later, I said, can you help me get these kids in America? Can you help me get them here? And the lady finally called me about 4 or 5 weeks in, Pastor Ron. You remember this story. And she said, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. She hung up the phone. 2 minutes later, a guy named David King called her, and he is in charge of helping Madonna travel around the world. He called her 2 minutes after she talked to me, and she said to him, hey, I have a friend in South Butler, New York. He's a pastor who's really wanting to help kids come to America. Could you call him? So David King called me. And he goes, hello, love. How are you doing, mate? I went, great. And he said, so you're a pastor? And I said, yes, I'm a pastor. And I loved his accent because I was born in England. And I said, oh, man, this is going to be cool. So we talked about the UK, talked about where I was born and everything. And he goes, okay, I heard you got a problem. And I said, yeah. And he said, I think I can help you out. You gotta get these kids to make an album, get an album cover, and then they could come as a singing group, and I'll get them in the country. Well, long story short, it's a lot longer than what I'm telling you, but let me just tell you. Those kids, 25 of them, got off the airplane. They didn't even have carry-on luggage because all they had was a backpack. And they stayed with us for 6 weeks and traveled this country. Why? Why? Because we persevered. God gave my son a vision. Do you think God's going to let my son down? Absolutely not. And if he cares about Josiah at 14, you better believe he cares about you. Persevere until you get it done. Number one, identify the fog. Number two, persevere until you get through. So you didn't get there in 2 days. Get over it. Last one. Follow the example of Jesus. Follow the example of Jesus. I read it earlier, but let me read it in a different version. It says this in the Berean version. Consider the one having endured such great hostility so that you will not grow weary and not faint in your soul. For he, the one, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scoring its shame, sat down at the right hand of Father and finished the race, right? I think the Lord's telling us this through the writer of Hebrews. He's saying, not just get rid of the weight, get rid of the fog. Not just endure until you finish the race, but Jesus did it. Jesus did it. He had scorn and shame and all kinds of stuff, but he made it through. He made it through. Most of you know because I bring it up, and I don't really talk about it many places, but I just feel like this place is home. Pastor came to visit me when I was in the hospital having open heart surgery. Pastor Ron visited me almost every day of the week when I got home. So I can talk about it here. I didn't even talk about it when I was at my church because I hadn't gone back there much. But when I've come here, I felt free to talk about my open heart surgery. And there was a day, you asked my wife, she's here today, you can ask her. There was a day I said, I think I made the wrong decision. I think I was discouraged. I was 2 days after surgery, all night long, listening to this lady go, ow, ow, help me, ow. That was really encouraging. And I was going like this, Jesus, Jesus. That was my ow, you know. But this thought came to me in the middle of the ow and the Jesus, and that is hundreds of thousands of others have had this surgery, and they made it. I can make it. Come on. Come on. I can make it. It gave me hope. That's why we should share our testimony with people. Come on, that's why we should share the victory, what Jesus did in your last life. You need to allow there to be an example of other people's success. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who suffered with scorn and shame, but now is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Come on. Hello. Come on, stand up with me if you would. I'm done, and I'm done on time, which is pretty good. That's good. That's good. If you're at home today and you're watching this or later on, I just really feel like even right now you need to know that if you're looking at quitting, don't quit. We just got news this week of one of our missionaries' granddaughters who committed suicide, 14 years old. This week, just happened. One of our missionaries from Africa and their granddaughter committed suicide 2 days ago. Quit. I don't know why. People want to quit. This COVID has screwed some people up in their thinking. It's fogged up their mind. It's made you not want to press on. But I believe God sent me to City Church tonight. He didn't just schedule me because pastors asked me to come. He brought me here tonight to give you a word. And here's the word. Take new territory. Take new territory. And here's how you do it. Get rid of the fog. Cast aside every weight. Get rid of the fog. Number two, press forward. Persevere until you're finished. And number three, when you're halfway through and it looks like the Brazilian children are not going to make it, it looks like we're not going to build that wall, it looks like the car broke again, look at the example of how God has blessed others. And He is no respecter of persons. Father, in Jesus' name right now, I pray all across this group here that you begin to fan your flame on faith. You took a whole chapter before you spoke about this, giving testimony of people who made it through, people who had faith. People even died having faith, and you testified to that. Help us be a people at City Church where we make it through, grab new territory, and keep our focus. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Come on, give him a hand, would you? Give Jesus a hand. If you were here last Thursday, you think that Pastor Chris and I talked about those messages? We didn't. But that's the power that God has to minister and to drive a point home. And we receive that prophetic word, new territory. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. Amen? Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your servant. Thank you for two apostles, three apostles in the house tonight. Father, we pray your best over them and through them. In Jesus' name, would you say amen? Hey, before you leave tonight, smile at somebody big. Sunday, my dad had a week off. He's going to be full of it. We're going to have a great time. God bless you.